Good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, we're discussing opportunity, what it is, and how to seize it. When it comes to opportunity, do you follow up? Do you seize the day? Or do you wait and let it pass you by? You know, I think the first thing we want to talk about tonight is what is opportunity? Hey, Billy Boy, how you doing?
Doing all right. How about yourself, Ashley?
I'm doing good. I mean, when opportunity knocks, here you go. I'm doing well.
That is right.
E-Rock, what's up tonight?
Hey, hold on 1 second. I hear some knocking. Is that opportunity?
That would be opportunity.
I'm happy.
I like that. Keenan, how are you?
I'm good tonight. I'm good. I mean, when opportunity knocks, what do? You open the door.
Absolutely.
Or sometimes you don't open the door. You just kick it in. That's what I like to do. Go. I like to kick it in.
Kick in the door. Defacing property. Here we go. So, okay, let's talk about opportunity. Opportunity is defined as a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Okay, so opportunity for what? And I think it depends on what we have been thinking about. What have you been thinking about? You know, what do you want in your life? I mean, don't you think, because I think if you don't see what you want in your life, if you don't understand what you want, you're not going to see it as opportunity at all. It's just going to be something else. And the noise. So when things come about, you know, is there a step to looking honestly to understand what opportunity is?
Well, I think that's a hard question because when it comes to opportunity, in my opinion, I mean, sometimes opportunity just falls in your lap, but then sometimes you have to go out and just completely look for opportunity. And it's like, and finding it is kind of hard sometimes because I know I've struggled, you know, trying to get opportunities and looking for opportunities, but yet sometimes the opportunities are not there. And so it goes back to the metaphor that I said during the opening of the show, instead of looking for opportunities, like when you see the opportunity, you just kick in the door, vandalize some property, do whatever you need to do in order to make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keenan, how do you know when it's an opportunity? I mean, is that a personal thing or, I mean, what is an opportunity? What you may see as an opportunity may not be seen as an opportunity by someone else. How do you know what it is and how do you know you need to kick?
It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing and it's more of a gut feeling. A gut feeling and also intuition, I would have to say. So, I mean, what is important to me may not be important to you and vice versa. If you find it important within yourself and you see that as an opportunity for you, then you should go ahead and take it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that opportunity is very interesting. I think that you're pretty much trying to get to the fact, Eric, that it's all about what do you want in life. And I think if we don't understand what we want, what we're looking for, what may be opportunity, it just goes by the wayside because it just seems like white noise. You know, it just seems like there's just something else we have to do. Or it might seem like a responsibility or it might seem like a burden. Because sometimes I've had it where opportunity comes and it's not just handed to you. Sometimes it's basically covered in some sort of shroud and you have really, you do it because of your compassion for humanity or you do it for whatever. However, that ends up being an opportunity that not at all did it show opportunity. And I think sometimes it comes that way too, very indirectly, very, undercover, where it's almost seeking out to see, are you at that level or are you doing it for the right of other people? And I think when you're doing the right thing by everybody concerned, that's when those things happen, but it reflects as an opportunity.
And I think that recognizing that as an opportunity is the key there, you know, because if you've got like background noise, or if, you know, maybe you don't have, like you were saying, Ashley, maybe if you don't have, you know, other people's concerns in mind, then maybe just go over your head.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what do you want in your life? You know, is there a step you're looking to take? You know, what do you want? What's your life goal? What's your passion? And I think if you don't know that, opportunity really can't come. I mean, because it can show up, but if you don't know what you want to do, it's going to be at all the wrong timing because you're never going to kick in the door. I mean, Keenan, you're never going to go to that door and even see it as a door. You're just going to see it as, oh, here's another thing in my way of whatever I'm trying to do. And I think a lot of us lose sight of what we want because we really just don't know. We're not really, you know, solid on where we want to go. If I didn't know that I want to take this show nationally, and I just thought, hey, I don't even know if that's a possibility, what have you. There could be somebody wanting to take the show nationally right now, but they could come to me and I wouldn't even understand the meeting. I wouldn't even understand where they're going from A to B, or really why they're meeting me, or even to the next level. I mean, is this just wasting my time? And I think sometimes people say, well, it didn't happen, it wasn't meant to be. But was it more of that, or was it more of the timing and what your stated purpose was? And I think that's important, because once we understand purpose, I think opportunity can come. Before you understand purpose, I don't really think that opportunity really can show up. I just don't think it can happen.
I think that puts it in great context. You got to start with purpose. Because again, if you're not in tune, if you don't have to some degree a strategy or goals, then you're kind of meandering. And so I think once you start with that purpose, then you have the potential to recognize it when you see it. Is that, I mean, Keenan, are you vibing with that a little bit?
Yes, I am vibing with that. The thing is, when it comes to like, it all comes to the mental state, you know, and like what's going on at that very moment in time, you know, in that person's life. Because if, you know, like Bill said, if there's a lot of background noise going on during that time, you know, a person might have, you know, they might see the purpose. They might have goals, you know, and the thing is, their mind is being cluttered with other things, with all these other, you know, things that are going on in their heads. And so when the opportunity comes, when it comes knocking on the door, they just don't see it, you know. And so it's like,
because it gets lost in the background.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the judgment is clouded. It's very much so clouded.
Well, I agree. I can understand that, because I think life is a lot. You know, we all get a little overwhelmed by things in our life, whether it's all the responsibilities we have, whether it's the process of, okay, I have to do this in order to make money, in order to provide. I have these issues as well. Also, I have a commitment to community, or I have a commitment to whatever it is that I have a commitment to. And so you have all these responsibilities, you have all these things going. And I think opportunity can come in the forms of various things. So it doesn't always have to be about a job or a career. It could be opportunities for friendships, relationship, for lasting relationships, to understand things that we haven't understood before, to be given knowledge that we haven't gotten before. And I think that's key to understand the universe, to understand ourselves, because I think everything is within us. You know, we are everything. And so I think the biggest thing is learning how to seize those opportunities. We're going to talk about that just in a minute. But let's talk about, before we get there, the concept of understanding that opportunity is really in the eye of the beholder. And I think that's a blanket across every single thing we do in life. It's in the view, how we see it, it's in the beholder. So like they say, what is it? Treasure versus trash. Trash is another man's.
Yeah, one man's trash is another person's treasure. Yeah.
And it's true. And I think that sometimes an opportunity that we might not see as an opportunity is a direct opportunity for somebody else. But that also makes a statement in the fact, is that the direction you were wanting to go? And because I don't think there's a lot of just chances. I think that we are given options, and consistently giving those options. And if we choose to take it, we take it.
Kind of like what Yogi Berra used to say: when you come to the fork in the road, take it. You know?
Did he used to say that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
He had a lot of those crazy sayings. But you know, actually,
I like that.
I think that point, doesn't it tie into your first point too? I mean, you have to know yourself and know your goals and know what you want, and then when the opportunities come your way, then you can recognize it for what it is, and you can seize it.
For sure. So how do we do that? I guess let's talk about that. How do you get to know what you want? And I think that's by honestly having some sort of, you know, self idea of what it is that you want in your life. I mean, can you sit there and honestly, you know, decide writing out? I think some people don't know their purpose. And I know that Eric and I were talking about this right before the show. Some people don't know their purpose. And in order to find your purpose, you might have to do some soul searching. You might have to do some meditation. You might have to do some seeking of what it is that you want. And I think once you figure out purpose, I think it comes to you, you know, like an 18-wheeler barreling at you once you find it. But it might take a little of investigation to know, because a lot of times people are good at a lot of things. You know, you might be good. Keenan might be good at radio, TV stuff, at theater, at this, at that. But what is it that you love the most, and what is it that you excel the most at? And I think that's purpose. And that, and you know, coupled with the fact of what you want to do for society or humanity, coupled within that, I think that declares purpose. And I think that gives you a clear action instead of going all over the place saying, okay, I want to do all this and then not getting any of it done.
He excels at being Keenan. That's what he excels at.
Yeah, a job in and of itself.
That's right.
I'm pretty much more of a generalist than I am a specialist. So
a generalist,
but you know, that's a reflection of knowledge of self. Knowledge of self.
Yes,
you, you're comfortable with that. That's who you are, and that, so and that's the lens through which you define opportunity, I would imagine.
Correct? Yes, yes. Yeah. It truly is. I mean, because, well, the way I see it, I'm like, you know, you have people that are specialists. And the thing is, in this society, you know, we're taught that, you know, you need to specialize in, you know, this, that, and the third, you know. But the way I see it, I mean, like, what's wrong with being a jack of all trades, a master of none?
Liberal arts in the house, baby. Liberal arts in the house.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
I like that. I like that. So, hey, when we return, we're going to talk about how to seize the opportunities, how to find those, how to seize them, how to make them happen. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in, I hope not, but if you are just tuning in, we've been talking about opportunity. You know, opportunity is a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. You know, what does it mean, opportunity? And we're talking tonight about how you can actually take an opportunity and how you can seize that opportunity. Because a lot of times when opportunity comes knocking, we either follow through with it, or we don't see the seize the day and we let it pass us by. And it happens a lot, because sometimes we don't know exactly what we want to do in life. Sometimes we don't understand that it's opportunity. And I think a lot of times we have to understand our purpose. We have to understand the purpose that we have in life, the things that we want to achieve, the stuff that we want to know. And I think that's important. So let's start talking about how to seize opportunity. I think the first thing is you want to know what you want. You want to know what you want. I mean, if you're out there looking for something to eat and you go to the sandwich place down the street, right? And you stand there and you're looking at the menu and they have 150 sandwiches and you say, okay, well, I just don't know what I want. I have no idea. Well, you kind of delineate from the fact, okay, I don't eat meat, or I don't eat chicken, or I don't eat pork, or whatever. And so you can take those out of the grouping, and then you take the rest out. So it's kind of, that's like life. I mean, that's like life, really. It's really kind of the lunch tray mentality.
Got to go through the menu.
Yeah, pick what you want.
You know, that's funny. As you guys know, I started my career in advertising. And, you know, when you're out of college, you know, you're kind of in a gray area. You don't really know what you want to do, or you're kind of meandering around. And I remember watching a movie called Boomerang, and I saw
that's a great movie, Eddie Murphy.
It's an awesome movie. And I saw the Eddie Murphy character, and I've always been good at writing and understanding creativity and strategy. And I saw that movie, and I instantly knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be Eddie Murphy. And he just so happened to work at an advertising agency. And so, interestingly enough, my pursuits from that point forward were researching advertising. And out of the blue, I got a call one day. And it said, hey, we've got a position for you at an advertising agency. And so, wow, I'm like, hey, that's an opportunity. Okay. And that's an opportunity in alignment with my vision for myself. And I stepped through it, and I've been in the industry for 20 years almost, but I saw the opportunity. I was inspired by something I saw, and it worked out.
Well, yeah. And sometimes it takes a while to see exactly what that opportunity is. For example, in my life, I mean, I spent, you know, 6 years in the Air Force, and then 9/11 happened, and then next thing you know, I'm being deployed out, and I'm fighting a war. You know, I get out, you know, I come back to Dallas, and my grandfather is dying of cancer, so I'm taking care of him, and then he passes away. Okay, now what do I do? So I'm sitting around, I'm like, oh, well, what do I want to do? I don't know. So I decided to go to college. I'm like, you know, I'm going to go to college. And when I went to college, I had no idea what I was going to do. I'm like, you know, I'm going to knock out these basics. Well, prior to going to college, I broke up with my girlfriend. And that was like this really heartbreaking thing, especially coming back from the war, you know, and like a lot of other stuff happened. So I see this thing called, you know, the drama club.
Yeah.
The drama club. How about if I get involved in that?
Just to see what we did.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Just to see exactly, you know, what I had no idea what was going to happen. So I got involved in that. And I remember I auditioned for a show, my first audition ever. And I didn't get the part. I didn't get it. But the director said, hey, do you want to be stage manager? Sure, I'll be stage manager. And even though during the time I had no idea what a stage manager was, did, or any of that, I'm like, I have no clue. But you know what? I mean, coming from the military, I mean, it's not unusual to be in unusual situations. Yeah. It's a regular thing in the military.
And you know, the interesting thing about it is that, you know, as I hear that, Kenan, everything that you did prepared you for that. Think about it.
A really great way to think.
You're right.
Think about it.
And it was like maybe a week into rehearsal. I'm being a stage manager and everything like that. And next thing, well, I was assistant stage manager actually, and then an actor dropped out. The director says you have his part.
Oh, see, that's exactly
there,
it.
There you go.
But see, at the first, if he wouldn't have taken the, let's back it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, back it
so
up. Yeah.
A lot of people listening go, okay, well, you know, he got to be a stage manager, but think about that. The end of the story makes complete sense because you chose the stage manager, which some people would have said, no, I wanted to act. I didn't get the acting position. I'm sorry. It was really great meeting you, you know, drama coach person, but I'm going to move on. I'm going to find someone that can help me act. And instead, you took what was offered, which is neat. You made the most of it, but in the process, you got this acting spot. And I think that's the way life moves a lot of times. That's what I'm saying, like you were saying as well. Sometimes the opportunity might not necessarily stand out. In that case, maybe more than others, but sometimes the opportunity doesn't really stand out. And in that case, you know, if you wanted to act being a stage manager, you're like, well, you know, but you took the chance. And so how did you do?
Well, next thing you know, I found myself in a theater, in a black box theater, doing this really heavy, intense monologue, you know, and my first play ever was Fires in the Mirror by Inner Smith, which is a heavy show.
It is.
It's a heavy show. And then after that, you know, I kept auditioning in the theater department and I kept getting cast.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I kept getting cast. And then finally, you know, whenever I went to UNT, I said, well, I'm going to, you know, major in radio, TV and film. And I'm going to, you know, do more theater. And I just felt like doing philosophy because I just felt like doing it, you know. And so even with, even with the radio gig that I did while at UNT, more opportunities did come, like surprising opportunities.
Wow.
And I think you landed on something earlier, Irak, about the whole idea of being prepared, be prepared to respond, preparedness, being prepared for opportunity. I think otherwise, if you're not prepared, you don't see the opportunity. You kind of see it as happenstance, or you see it as, you know, coincidental, or that just kind of happened. So explain what you think about, you know, being prepared. What does that mean to you?
I think I'm an optimist. You guys have been around me enough to know I look at life from the positive side of things. And it's kind of like being ready for battle. You don't know when you're going to get that call. Like from a military perspective, you train every day for a war you may never have to fight, but you're prepared. And I think the process of preparing yourself for opportunity, being physically fit, being mentally strong, being morally in alignment with your authentic self, I think all of those things and the refining of that daily, minute by minute, day by day, week by week, prepares you for whatever that opportunity might be. In your case, I think the experience in the war, I think the loss of your grandfather, I think all of those things, both consciously and subconsciously, prepared you and hardened you to a degree, but also opened you up for the opportunities that came thereafter. So I think it's a constant refining and analysis and self-checking of self.
I agree with that. I think that we've all been through, you know, some trying times, some things that didn't go our way, or some depression, or some things about dealing with death of family members, changes in our lifestyle. And I think those do all come together to culminate to show you the way to purpose. And I think also those also help to close doors, because if there's all these variety of doors open, you don't know which one to go to. I mean, because there's too many options. Like going back to the sandwich analogy, if there's 150 sandwiches and you don't know what you want, there's some of them have to be off the menu. Some of them they don't have in stock. Some of them aren't being served. Some of it's spoiled. You got to figure out what it is. So let's talk about listening to your inner self, right? And I think we talked about this earlier on break, Bill. I mean, you know, how to listen to your inner self, how to actually listen to yourself and know, I'm not listening to so-and-so tell me what to do, but I'm going to listen to myself and figure out what it is I want to do, what it is that my next step is.
You know, and for me, anyway, you know, when I changed careers, you know, I was in the insurance business and then I got involved in the radio business. That was the key step, was figuring out what it was that I wanted to do. And I can actually remember this. I took a vacation, a 1-week vacation, and I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed you know, in my house.
Staycation.
Yeah, staycation. And that's all I did for that week is like, look, I'm miserable. Something's got to give here. I can't go on like this, you know. And so I just spent the whole week, you know what? What do I see myself do? Even if it was pie in the sky. You know?
How did you do? Did you think? Did you write things down?
Yeah.
Did you create some sort of like montage or what did you
do? Yeah, I mean, just wrote things down, just jotted down ideas as they came, talked to trusted friends, you know, family. You
which
know,
is a function of preparedness.
Who know prepared. Me better than I know myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And you know, who were willing to hold up the mirror even if I didn't like what I saw.
So after six, 7 days, you figured out that you didn't want to continue down this path.
Didn't want to continue down the path. But
so you figured
next,
that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, the next step then is, okay, if I don't want to continue on this path, which one do I want to go down? And that took about a few more months of kind of self-introspection. Here's something will make you laugh, Ashley. I don't know if I actually told you this story or not.
Oh,
but,
here we go.
Here, I remember exactly the night that I kind of figure out, you know, what it is that I wanted to do, you know, because eventually I wanted to get into sports broadcasting.
Right, I know that.
So at the time, I was still in the insurance business, but you ready for this? This is kind of a hobby of mine, but I was actually a ring announcer for a local professional wrestling.
No. Promotion. Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me about
I did
that.
Gentlemen.
You did tell me that.
You know, now coming to the ring, weighing 250 pounds from parts unknown.
Kevin
you know?
Von Erich.
Yeah, you know.
Was this legal wrestling?
Yeah,
or?
It was legal.
Okay.
You know? I mean,
that's awesome.
It was, yeah, and I remember the night somebody from the local sports station came by to check out the show and, you know, interview people and, you know, to do a story or whatever. And I had never met him before. And we just got to talking and said, you know, I mean, that's cool that you're a producer for the sports station because I want to get into sports broadcast. Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you what, let me get your number. And, you know, because you got a great voice. And if there's something that comes up, then maybe I'll give you a holler. 6 months later, I didn't hear from him for 6 months, actually. And then I heard back from him. And I'll tell you that story. But that's how I got into it.
6 months. Wow. Okay. 6 months. Opportunity knocks.
Nice.
So stay tuned because we're going to talk more about how to seize opportunity, how to find your opportunity, and how to make it happen for you. So Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, if you're just tuning in tonight, we've been discussing opportunity, what it is, and how to seize it. You know, we've been discussing, you know, finding your true purpose, being able to figure out what your goal is, your passion. And right before break, we had discussed, you know, knowing what you want, being prepared, but also listening to your inner or higher self. And right before, Bill was actually talking about when he had dismissed the insurance game and decided to do sports announcing. And he ended up doing a wrestling event for a National Wrestling Federation or
whatever. Well, just a local one.
Oh, local. Okay.
Back in my hometown of Amarillo. So,
still,
I mean,
very cool.
We were lucky to have 50 people show up, right?
Still very cool, though.
Very cool.
And so then you had six months later, you said somebody calls you after you did that, right? Some sort of opportunity knocked on the door.
Yeah, so he kept my name and number, and he was actually looking for someone to be the engineer for the talk show on the sports station, you know, because he was the producer and the person yet engineering the show, which, you know, for those of our listeners who don't know what that means, it's actually the guy in the radio station who punches the buttons and, you know, turns on everybody's mics and stuff like that. He was looking, his engineer was leaving, you know, going on to bigger and better things. He needed someone to come.
So you came on as an engineer.
So I came on as an engineer, and at first I was horrible. I was terrible. You know,
No, not you.
I know, not me. I mean, you know, go figure. But you know, I was lost, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to answer the phone, and how do you patch through a caller through the board? And he, you know, it's like he had to reach over, you know, and, you know, do things for me. And,
slap him.
Yeah,
and the host
would look at me like, you idiot, you know,
but it's kind of the same if you think about it with Keenan's story too, with the whole concept of going in there and trying out for, you know, for the spot in this play and instead getting the stage manager position, but then getting to be in the play and then subsequently continuing that. Just like you got in the door as a producer. And at first you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe they've hired me to do this. I know nothing about this and that, and I'm just going to learn it, and hopefully I'll learn it without somebody killing me.
Right.
But then now look where you're at.
Then, and, yeah. And, And about 6 months after that, he had to go into the hospital. God bless him. Yeah, God bless him. He's okay now, by the way, but it was a serious medical condition. So I had to produce and engineer the show. It was just me. But at that point, then I was prepared to do it.
And it all started with that introspection. Exactly. I think, you know, we talk about that preparedness. I think it goes to that introspection. You know, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is where I am. This is where I want to be. And you have to be honest about that.
Postscript to the story real quickly. I was actually back in my hometown last week on a vacation and went back and saw my buddy Kenny. And he's still producing the show. And I sat in with him and got on the mic, you know, with the new host right now. And we just, you know, shot the bull.
Okay, I don't mean to take us on a tangent, but let me say one thing. I love the pictures you sent me from the whole trip.
You like it?
But you didn't send me any of the studio. You didn't send me any of that show. You did send me you sent me all kinds of like canyon pictures. I felt like I was on the trip with you.
That's because my girlfriend took the picture of me talking on the mic in the studio.
I saw that picture.
Yeah, you saw it on my Facebook.
I saw it.
They actually sent me pictures from each place that they stopped, and it was really cool. They were at this place to eat and this and that. Sweet. And it was really neat. I felt like I was on the trip. That was really
cool. Route 66.
Appreciate that. Yeah. That was very nice. Yeah. Thank you. I felt like I took a trip. So let's talk about not dismissing coincidence, right? I think we were talking about this earlier, dismissing coincidence. A lot of people say, oh, that was just coincidental. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. I think coincidence is a very interesting thing. I mean, we can go like to a trippy version of it. Let's talk about the Matrix, right? Ooh, where they talk about like there is, he said, oh, that's funny. It's deja vu. And he's like, what do you mean? And he goes, well, there was a cat here, and then there's a cat that walked by again. And they said, well, do you think it's the same cat? And he's like, I don't know. And they said, there is no deja vu. There isn't any coincidence. And I think that's interesting. We're not like in the Matrix, maybe, but at the same point in time, you have to look at those things and realize it's just not something you sweep away. It's something you need to put your thought into.
Are we sure we're not in the Matrix?
Are we sure?
Twilight Zone.
Do we really know? No, I know the subconscious is a powerful thing. And the subconscious doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not. And a lot of the things that have happened in my life, if I really, really do that deep analysis and dig deep into self, there were things that I've yearned for, things that I've wanted that my subconscious caused to be. And the conscious reacted to it. And I know that may sound scientific and all of that, but I believe in that. I believe in the fact that if you focus on something strong enough, if you give it the attention, if you give it that intensity of thought, if you give it that intensity of meditation, then it manifests itself in the real world. I firmly believe that.
I mean, you can will it to happen.
I think so. I mean, I think that's a truth.
I think you can will things to happen. Well, actually, I don't think you can. I know you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can. And a lot of times you don't want to think it's that easy. And there was years of my life that I thought there was no way that life could be that easy in a way. And I'm not saying that life's easy. So let's get that out of the way. But I'm saying like when you can actually think something and it will start to come in fruition, if it's good for all concerned, it'll start to come in fruition. I never thought that you could actually go that direction. And now I'm pleasantly surprised that really does work. Just like the opposite. If you believe that you're never going to do something, that also will come true as well.
Well, yes, that will come true. If you think that life pretty much sucks and that everything is bad and you're all just ball humbug all the time, and what's going to happen is you're just going to become complacent, and then you're just going to sit around, not do anything, become antisocial, and opportunity's not going to knock at all. It's not going to come knocking on the door at all. But then, even though you know you're struggling, but you want to get to someplace, you really want to get to someplace. So what do? You know, you do what you have to do to make it happen.
Yep.
And then time will pass, whether it's 6 months, 1 year, or 6 years, that opportunity will finally come knocking at your door because you willed it to come there.
I agree
with that. And so let's flip the tables. Let's flip the tables on opportunity right now, because we've been talking about opportunity.
Slam the door in its face.
Yes.
Ashley, this is a pretty heavy table, and I got a back problem. So can we just flip the script?
I'll flip the table for you, but you just get safely out of the way, guys. Okay. Okay. Cool, cool, I don't want anybody getting hurt.
We got the young lady flipping the table, guys. Okay.
I want to go move a car here in a second, too.
Ooh, I heard that.
I'm gonna just get Hulk out.
I'm gonna get in the driver's seat and I'm just gonna drive down the street with the key in the ignition. No, I'm not gonna try to pick up a car. But I know some people that have, but they didn't work out. Let's do this. Let's flip the tables because I think we've been talking about opportunity as coming to us and getting this opportunity. But we have to realize one thing. We offer others opportunity. Okay, so it's not all about us getting the opportunities. We offer other people opportunities for them. And the way we do this, right, I mean, think about it, is I think a lot of people confide in us. Your friends confide. Everybody listening has friends that confide in them and say, man, I really want this to happen. I really want to open this. I want to have a bakery. I want to do this. I really want to do that. I want to go to school here. I want to, you know, whatever it is, I want a job there. I'll do this, that. When you compute all these concepts in your head on a daily basis, it's amazing if you actually remember and you take note and you think about it and you honestly think about that, you will find a connection for that person to push them forward and propel them to that opportunity. I mean, you know, whether it's somebody wants to go and get their graduate degree somewhere, but they don't think they can get in and you happen to know the dean of admissions. Okay, that's kind of a connection. Or somebody wants to get a job wherever and you know the people that are the hiring HR position. I mean, you're not getting them the job, but you're putting them in contact with the person directly where they can get a job from.
You know, Ashley, my buddy Kenny that I mentioned earlier, you know, something he said to me when I first started that has really stuck with me. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. That's the key to it. I mean, you can know a lot of people, you know, but what if they don't know you?
That's interesting.
Know? And yeah. And so, yeah. You know, like so for example, you know, just like what you were saying, you know, there was somebody who wanted to work up at the radio station that I currently work at. You know, how do I do it? Okay, well, let me put you in touch with,
you know, and you help them out.
And you know, and then it's up to you, you know, whether or not you get hired or not.
Yeah.
But you know, but I was the one to say, "Hey, here's the person you want to talk to. I'll put in a good word for you."
You know, I tell people this all the time. I say, you know, I'm not going to walk you over the threshold of the door. I'm also not going to open the door for you. But what I am going to do is I'm going to show you where the door is. I'm going to hand you the key, okay? And I'm going to show you exactly how to walk to the door and how to get there. All you have to do is open it up. That's all I can do. But at least you know there's a door there, and I hand you the key to get in. So other than that, that's all you can do for them. But that's a huge step. That's huge. I mean, how many people have you helped? Because I know through my life, there's a lot of people that I've helped in my life, thank God. And I feel very blessed that I'm able to do that, you know, because I do think that blessings come back as well. But I don't do it for that. OK, it's not about that. But it is about if I can help somebody, because it's interesting. Every day I hear somebody say something and I hear somebody like right before that, a few weeks before, talking about it. And you just put them into contact and it's not too much time. Just make the time to do it. You know,
I get a lot of that from my kids. You guys know I got three kids and, you know, 16-year-old, 13, and a 6-year-old. And I get the greatest joy when I can share a perspective, open a door, or provide a certain level of context for them, and they step through it. And they find success in it. They find a sense of belonging there, and I can see it on their face. And that's huge. And that's like me stepping through the door with them.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's like me experiencing that opportunity with them. And that's a powerful thing. That's a very powerful experience.
I mean, I do. I really like helping people. I really like giving other people opportunities to do things, no matter how big or small it is. For example, a weird thing happened to me yesterday, actually. Well, I was taking a bus, and I have a 30-day pass. Well, I'm on the bus, and this gentleman, he tries to give me, he's like, "Hey, do you need a ticket?" I said, no, I don't have a 30-day pass. You know, but he gives me that pass and he tells me, well, if you don't need it, then give it to somebody else.
Pass it forward.
Pass it forward. Exactly.
I like that. Pass it forward. Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Yeah.
So stay tuned because we're going to be talking more about how to seize the opportunity. We flip the tables, how to also help others get opportunity. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you
what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You puffery about your new cook. You know what I'm craving. A little perspective.
That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it. Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc, 1947.
Welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And tonight we've been talking about opportunity. We're talking about how to seize opportunity and really how to actually make something happen in your life. You know, before we went to break, we had been talking about knowing what you want out of life, being able to be prepared to respond when opportunity does come knocking, to be able to listen to your inner self and allow that to guide you to figure out what it is you actually want to do in life and to direct you to those doors that apply. Also, about not dismissing coincidence, about realizing that that has some sort of special treatment, to realize that that actually should magnify in your mind and know that you're kind of close to something coming about. And then we just talked about flipping the tables, and that's about how we can realize that we offer opportunity to others. And I think that's essential because we can talk all day about the opportunities we want or the opportunities we're pursuing, but what about on the flip-flop? What have you offered? And I think that's important because I think every day people confide in you. Everybody that's listening to this show right now has had several people confide in you on a weekly basis what it is they want to do, what they long for, what they want to do in their life, you know, whether it's open a bakery or go back to school or do this or that. And it's funny how we all come into connection with other people that can help provide that opportunity. And like we were talking before break, it's not that we're actually walking them over, opening the door and walking them over, you know, through the door and closing the door behind them. We're actually showing them the door, handing them the key, and letting people do what they want. And I think that's important because you can help other people prosper, but you're not making them do something.
One of the things a philosophy or point of view I grasped onto early on in my life was that we're social beings, we're social humans, but we're also interconnected. And there's something in that interconnectedness, I think. And so, yes, I mean, good things happen. We step through the door for opportunity for ourselves. But, you know, as Kenan and I were talking earlier, there's something profoundly fulfilling when you can help others step through that door as well.
Well, yes. I mean, not only are we, you know, all interconnected, but we're also interdependent of one another. Yes. Also, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, I don't care how much money you make or anything like that. You need everyone else within this society as a whole. And the way I see it, you know, I mean, always when you have that opportunity to give back, always do it. You know, no matter how big or small it is, you know, and as Ashley was saying earlier, you know, you can, you know, lead them to the door, hand them the key. What is it? You know, lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
So true.
Know? So, I mean, you can give a person that opportunity, but it's up to that individual themselves on what they do with that opportunity. Sometimes they might throw it away, or sometimes they might make something grand.
But at least you helped that person. You know, you gave them the opportunity, or at least to help them, you mm-hmm. know, to realize that opportunity.
Well, that leads right to the next thing, and that's the other thing you have to do to seize the opportunity. What is it? You got to follow through. So yeah, you can help other people. Let's look at it on our shoes, or let's look at it on someone else's shoes. The one thing you have to do is you got to follow through. And especially, I think sometimes we see this where we give an opportunity to someone, or we at least help them have an opportunity. And when they don't follow through, you're kind of like, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, I went out of my way to do this. You've handed the key, and all of a sudden you're thinking, I thought you had a meeting with them. I thought you had something going on. And they're, mm-hmm. oh, I wasn't able to make it. I had to cancel. And you're like, whoa, wait a second.
That's, you know, actually, yeah. I don't know about you, but the way I'll use the example I used earlier. Let's say that a friend of mine, you know, who I'd said, hey, you know what, talk to, you know, the boss of the radio station here. If he hadn't done that, and then he came to me later on and said, you know, I want to try it again, I'd be like, yeah, you know, don't know if that's going to work out. You know, I mean, it's kind of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And that's why I go to the intent. I mean, it's the initial act of offering, the initial act of reaching out, the initial act of opening those doors for someone. And you can't control it beyond that. But I think the liberation is in the initial act.
Yeah. And then it's up to, like Kenan was saying, it's up to the other person
up to the person
to seize that opportunity and do with it what they will.
And that's how we are, too. We have to follow through with our own actions, our own things. And I think even in life, even if it's not like an opportunity for a career or what have you, but it might be an opportunity just to meet somebody. But it's how much effort you're going to put forth in doing it. Oh,
meeting people.
Meeting people. Effort. And effort. Network. You know, what effort are you going to put into something? And sometimes people go, well, it just wasn't handed to me. Well, things normally aren't handed to you. And I know one thing that my dad used to always say, and he still says it, is that, you know, when you don't work for something, you don't really care about it. It doesn't make sense to you. You don't sit there and try to cherish it.
You know something my late grandfather used to say, when's the last time you ever washed a rental car? Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. When's the last time you washed a rental car? Wow. Or when's the last time, you know, you replaced something expensive in an apartment or a rental house?
Wow, okay. There you go.
Yeah. You don't own it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way. That's pretty interesting. So the follow through is a big deal. Follow through with everything we do in life, because otherwise, what does that make you if you don't follow through? You're just kind of like, you're kind of just going through the motions of life.
I'll admit, I'll raise my hand. I am guilty at not following through. And, when I say, you know, not following through, I don't mean like, say, job opportunities, career opportunities or anything like that, or like meeting, you know, people that can help me along with that. I mean, relationship opportunities. I'm bad at following through when it comes to relationship opportunities, which is something
it might be priorities, though, with you. Yeah. It could be your priorities.
It could be.
You know, priorities are very interesting.
Okay. This is a family show now.
Okay.
Family sorry. Show. Sorry. Yes, it is a family show.
I was
show.
Digressing over here as well, Billy. Sorry.
But it is about the drive you have, the purpose you want to do. So what about also realizing all opportunity is a process? To realize all opportunity is a process, and you have to have faith in the process. And I think that's an interesting thing, too, because if you don't have faith in the process, time can tick by and you can say, this should have happened earlier. This should have happened a year ago.
That's me. You know me. I mean, the perfectionist I am, also impatient, you know, then if I don't think I'm going to hit the home run, every time I go up to the plate, then I'm just not going to go up to the plate.
You don't go to the plate.
And that's something I really have to fight myself for.
We're working on that.
Yes.
You know, my thing, again, I go back to one of myself, which is the athletic self, and I enjoyed the process because I knew if you put in the work in the process, if you had good intent, if you came from an authentic place, if you put in the blood, sweat, and tears, the outcome is pretty much predetermined for the most part. So the process dictates, I think, or the investment in the process dictates the outcome or the degree of the outcome. That's me.
Well, yeah, I mean, the process is, I have mixed emotions about the process, actually.
Mixed emotions about the process, too, but I've gotten over it.
It's like I have mixed emotions about it because the thing is, I mean, well, depending on the process, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes if it's like, you know, tedious and you're like, you know, being very meticulous about it, you know, it could be very rewarding once that process is done.
Yeah.
However, during the process, when there is suffering involved, that's the part I don't like. Granted, I mean, like, you know, struggle involves suffering. I mean, they call it the struggle for
no
a reason,
pain,
right?
No
yeah,
gain,
no, pain, no,
no
pain, gain.
No pain, no gain.
K-Dog don't like pain.
I'm just saying that particular part of the process.
But it hurts so good.
I was about to say, maybe that's the basis of your relationship problems, but we'll talk about that.
Where's the couch?
Oh, my Lord.
We got the couch. Some psychoanalysis.
But, you know, sometimes it is all about the process. And I used to have mixed emotions about the process too. I used to really kind of hate on the process. And now I've become healthy and happy about the process because I realize the process is part of everything. It's part of it. And the one thing that we have to get over in the process is realizing at each level where we are and not just continue to say, well, when I get here, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But when I get there, I'll be happy, because you're going to be like that runner that's running a race that never ends. It's for your entire life. You'll never stop running and you don't even know why you're running. Eventually there comes one day when you say, oh my gosh, I've created all this and I never once was happy with it. I always needed more. And I do believe that drive is very important. I do believe that drive is, but it's also within moderation. How much drive versus how much actual, okay, I'm happy with this. I feel good about this. Look how far I've come. And I think we've all had a really interesting conversation tonight. I think that we've all dealt with finding opportunity. And yeah. I think, I don't know about y'all, but when it comes to opportunity, you have to follow it up. You have to seize it. You can't wait. You can't let it pass you by. And you know, if it's Keenan, Eric, Bill, or I discussing it, it's all within you. It's what you have. It's what you do. It's what you make. It's what you create. And that's so important because it's all about you. And you have to be happy with you. And hopefully your happiness is internalized, but these also allow for your happiness. So the next time the door opens or somebody hands you a key, take it.
Bust through it.
Take it. Bust through it, yep, as Keenan says. Yeah,
kicking the door.
So we hope for a good night, and we'll be back next week with the most amazing show as well. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in 3 shakes.